is, oh God, where'd you go? Not TripAdvisor.
Oh, that's an interesting title.
Where'd you go? God, where'd you go?
And we're live. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, buddy. Well, not happy Easter to you guys.
I listened to last week's episode. You did such a good job at editing. Oh my gosh. Like, you need to just be the new official editor because I was cracking up. I was like, this is amazing.
I went in there and I made a point to bring up the Vlad the Impala. Yeah. And I had it on there with Josh. And I was like, Amy messed this up so bad. I was like, so I'm going to get her for it. And as I'm listening, I hear Heidenberg. And he's like, do you mean Hindenburg? And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. I look like an asshole. He's like, you have to make fun of yourself now or just take it out. And I'm like, I can't take it out. And I would feel terrible if I took it out. I'm a liar. He's like, you know what you should do? You should send it out to someone and have them make like a remix out of it. And I was like, I don't have time for that. I'll just try to do something myself.
You did good. And then at the end, it was like a drop. And I was like, it's actually pronounced Hindenburg.
Hindenburg.
Did you do that sound or did you find like some?
No, that was me. I just slowed it down with the pitch.
That was really good. I loved it.
I have fun. I do. I really do have fun editing. It's just.
I'm glad you do.
Clearly.
It was pretty good.
You guys know which ones I edit because I throw in something really stupid in it.
They're more fun.
Yours are fun too.
Nah, not as fun. Okay, so I have a question for you. When you make a phone call to like the bank or to like Amazon or whatever, and there's like an option, they say like, at the end, there will be a survey at the end. Can you please do the survey? Do you do the survey?
It depends on who from, but a lot of times I will. If mm-hmm. they pissed me off and made me wait forever, then no. But if they were like actually helpful and I have a second, I'm like, I would like to do the survey if someone's actually helpful and like nice. Then I'm like, sure, I'll give you a survey. What's your name?
Yeah, I do the same thing.
If they cut me off and they're like, at the end of this call, there's a brief survey and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then bloop, they just switch me over to the survey. And I'm like, well, fine. I didn't get your name. So I'm not going to do the survey then.
I do the same thing, Bri.
Yeah, because it makes people look good. If they're working hard at their job.
But if they make me mad for whatever reason, I won't do the survey because I don't want to say something mean about somebody.
Same.
Because it could be not their fault.
Right.
Or two, they're just having pissed. A bad day.
I'm just pissed about it. So that's my answer. I'm just pissed about it. I'm like, no, you don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it.
You didn't give me my money back, even though it's out of your hands.
Even though it's out of your hands, but you know what? I don't care. Yeah. The stupid company didn't give me my money back. Yeah, I do the same thing. Even with like, if you go to Taco Bell and the people are super friendly, they say like they get like some sort of not commission, but they get something. So I'll try
to
do that.
Like some kind of like
incentive for them.
Yeah, Walmart does that with the Walmart pickup, and I like every single time in Fairbanks, the one lady would always have like the same person, and she was always so perky and so happy, and she's like, "If you can give me a survey," and I'm like, "I already know your name. I'll give you another survey." And she was always so nice. She was like, how you doing today? How's it going? Lovely weather. And I'm like, it's -40 out and you're loading my groceries. You're doing great. Thanks.
You're doing great.
I'm going to give you 5 stars.
Okay. Who's going first this week? You went first last week.
Okay. You can go first. I was about to say, I have my neighborhood story right here. Real quick, speaking of neighborhood story, last week, I didn't mention that my neighborhood story was also fake. And I think our neighborhood stories were both similar because they were both about a crazy neighbor complaining about their crazy neighbors, but they were just both crazy in the end.
I forgot what yours was.
It was this guy who got invited to his neighbor's Cinco de Mayo party, and he ended up, like, they sent the piñata full of poop, and the next weekend he went and partied with them anyway, and he said, I'm just as crazy.
That's so funny. I totally believe that one. The poop one, the piñata poop, that was kind of rough. Yeah. I was like, who on earth would shove poop into a piñata?
Throw something crazy in there.
I was like, clearly this is real.
These guys are
but
nuts.
It wasn't. I didn't know it wasn't. I didn't know it
was
fake.
A fake story, guys. So just so you know, don't get me on that. My neighborhood story this week. Let's see. Apparently, Twitter desperately needs how to be normal with your neighbors lessons. First and foremost, take notes, guys. It is okay to interact with them. It's okay to interact with your neighbors. Make them chilly. Write extremely awkward notes so they know other people can hear them and offer them beer. And then that's all. So take notes, offer your neighbors beer, make them chilly, interact with them, and then write them notes about how they're loud.
Okay. I can do all of those. Where'd you find that
neighborly?
On Twitter?
Yeah.
I love it. Also, it sounds like someone's lonely.
Yeah, right? I wonder if, like, they went and, like, made someone chilly, like, got some, their neighbor got the wrong idea about them and talked about them on social media, and they're probably like, all right, I'm gonna blast you.
Yeah, and they hurt their feelings.
Rude.
Rude.
It's okay to make people chilly.
It's okay to make people chilly.
Don't read into it.
So, I am going to tell you a story about a murder. Murder in the Cheesehead State, aka Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, I will want to make a public apology to my mother because I asked her to pick a state for me this week, and she picked Georgia. And I am clearly not doing Georgia. But I was like, all right. So I started on a story and I was like halfway through and I was like, I don't like this story. So I checked it. And then I started on another one. I was like a quarter way through and I was like, this story's stupid. And so I threw it out too. Yep. AKA, I wasn't getting fast results.
Yep.
And I wanted like fast results and I needed to do more research. I was like, I want it now. So we're in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and dude, this happened in 2022.
Oh, very recent. Okay.
So if you've heard of it, keep your mouth shut. Not you, the listeners.
Shut your pie hole.
Yeah. The listeners, if you've heard it, shut your mouth.
I probably haven't heard of it.
I didn't. I was kind of shocked that I didn't, because we were recording.
Oh, yeah.
So it's 3 a.m. February 23rd, 2022. Green Bay 911 gets a call from a man named Steve. Steve was kind of groggy. He had just woken up, but he was calling because his girlfriend named Tara was losing it. She was losing her mind. She was hysterical. Steve was like, I don't know I don't know. She just woke me up calling and told me to call 911. So I'm going to play you part of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, tell me what's happening there again.
I have no clue what's happening. My girl swears that she's found her severed head of her son in the basement.
Did you go down there?
In a bucket. I went down. I can't tell what the fuck it is. Part of my leg is up. Kind of a little freaked out.
Okay. Did she just wake up and say that?
Yeah.
And whose head is it?
She's claiming it's her son.
How old is her son?
24, 20. 25?
Has he been missing, or?
No, yeah, he was here yesterday with some chick, and then all of a sudden nobody's here, and she came up to use the restroom a couple times, and she keeps calling and calling, and now she's saying that she hears the phone down there, too.
Okay. Is she with you right now?
Yes, she's upstairs. She's a little freaked out, and I don't know what to do.
And you said you went down there, correct?
Yeah, and I lifted his hole, but I can't see very well, and I can't tell what the hell it is.
So there's something in the bucket.
There's something in the goddamn bucket.
What? Yeah.
So, Steve, for just to kind of recap. So, Steve couldn't confirm with the dispatcher if there was actually a head in the bucket because his eyesight is bad and it was super dark.
How do you not?
And the dispatcher was like, go ahead.
No matter how bad your eyesight is, I feel like you'd know if there was a head in a bucket. Anyway.
I think he might have just been kind of in denial. The dispatcher was like, are you sure your girlfriend wasn't hallucinating? And he was like, no, she was not hallucinating. So within minutes, officers were at their house. She points officers down to the basement. One of the officers, Alex Wolnish, he takes a look around the room. He sees dried blood all over the air mattress, and next to the mattress, there was like a 5-gallon bucket with a beach towel over it. Alex lifts the towel and confirms that there was, in fact, a head in the bucket. There's a head in the bucket. Delilah, Delilah. Have you ever heard that song? There's a hole in the bucket?
No. Nope.
With a picture provided by Tara, the officer was able to confirm the head in the bucket belonged to Tara's son, Shad Thyron. Right underneath the head was a penis and testicles.
Oh.
On the yeah.
I was not expecting that. I thought we were past the head. And then all of a sudden, there's another head.
So on the concrete floor, there were swirls of blood. It honestly looked like it was like there was a puddle of blood there and someone like used towels to like swirl it and wipe it up, but then ended up giving up. The officer found 2 blood-soaked knives along with a plastic bag with 3 other bloody knives, a bread knife, and 2 other kitchen knives. Many more bags were found in the basement containing other body parts and organs that belonged to Shad.
Oh.
There was, I know, we just kind of dive right into this, and I'm so sorry about it.
No, it's good. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's just what we're here for.
This is what we're here for. There was a big blue storage container in the basement, and inside of it, the officer found Shad's upper torso. And inside of his upper torso, there was one of Shad's feet. She was like, the officer was like, that's an odd place to put a foot.
Like in his cavity? They opened him up and then they put a foot in there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's where I left it.
Along his neckline, where his head was removed, the cuts were super rough. Imagine like a piece of steak that you're trying to cut with a super, super dull knife. It was just like all torn up. So alongside of the blue container, there was various body fluids. The officer also found a glass pipe and a gram of unidentified substance, which later was confirmed that it was meth. So the officer goes back to Tara, Shad's mother, and was like, okay, who was the last person to talk or see Shad? And she said, oh, that's Shad's friend/friends with benefits, Taylor Shabusiness.
Was that her real name? Shabusiness. Mind Shabusiness. Sorry.
Mind your Shabusiness. Shabusiness. So let's talk about Taylor. Taylor was born as Taylor Coronado in Everson, Illinois on November 23rd, 1997. So no, that was not her real last name.
Okay.
She had a bad life. Her parents raised her and her younger brother, AJ, and I shouldn't say it was a bad life. She had a decent upbringing, but it was a decent middle-class life. When she was in fourth grade, her dad got a transfer to Green Bay, and he moved his family there. Her mother was a bad, mean alcoholic, and she had the family, and she made the family unstable, and the kids were kind of scared of her. So it was decent to an extent.
Right.
I should say. In May of 2009, when Taylor was 11, her mother passed away from cirrhosis in her sleep at the age of 41. Her dad sent Taylor and AJ to school. And then when they got home from school, that's when he told them. Shortly after her mom's death, her dad remarried. As a response, Taylor started to act out. She would pick fights with other kids at school. When Taylor turned 12, her dad caught her trying to take her own life by cutting her throat, but he caught her just in time. So her dad took her to a mental health doctor, and she was prescribed a slew of different medications for ADHD, depression, mood stabilizers, and some other things. But in high school, she wasn't much better behavior-wise. A few years in high school, she met Shad. Yeah. So they were became boyfriend and girlfriend. They were always up to no good, getting into a lot of mischief. Eventually, her school was like, nah, this is too much, and decided to expel her. Her poor father was like, what the heck am I supposed to do with you now? So he sends her off to Texas to finish high school with her grandparents. Hopefully this would be, you know, a way for her to start new and focus on herself. And it ends up being a good move for her. She graduated. She felt good and proud of herself, which unfortunately she felt since she was feeling so good, she shouldn't take her meds anymore, which is not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
So in 2019, Taylor was like, I'm gonna move back to Green Bay. Unfortunately, she was still off her meds and was self-medicating with weed, alcohol, and meth. So Taylor met Warren Chabot. No. Taylor met Chabot, Warren Chabot. He was her meth drug dealer. And they got into a relationship. Nothing's more romantic than marrying your drug dealer.
Yeah. It's the last
Warren
name.
Was in
the Chabot.
Chabot. Warren was in his 20s. He had a job and hit all the basics a woman is looking for in a man. And when I say he had a job, he was a meth dealer. So, but at least he was bringing home the money.
I was about to say, he's probably bringing home a good bit of money.
They were glued at the hip and she was smitten over this guy. Unfortunately, their relationship was pretty rocky. I mean, a new relationship mixed with meth is not a good combo. They were always accusing the other of cheating. Like, you're cheating. No, you're cheating. No, you're cheating. Warren was also kind of controlling. He started to isolate her from her family. Despite all their fights, they ended up getting married in late 2019. And instead of changing her last name to his last name, Chabot, Warren was like, you should change it to Shabusiness. And she was like, that's so cool. That's so cool.
Of course Chabot thought of that. Genius. I love it. Classic. So Chabot, Shabusiness.
In July of 2020, Taylor was high on meth, knocking on people's doors in Green Bay, which was in the middle of the pandemic. Excuse me, ma'am, you're just going and knocking on people's doors?
Right? Call.
Oh my goodness.
You have to virtual knock. Taylor.
So someone called the cops. The cops find her on the streets and she tells the officers she's on a different planet now and shows the officers her fresh track marks. After they calmed her down, another officer shows up and she starts to freak out again. She walks into oncoming traffic and acts erratic. They ended up arresting her and charging her with resisting arrest and battery on an officer because, like, she was, like, kicking one of the officers in the shin. Since it was her first felony, she got 3 years probation and mandatory psychological evaluation. Not even a month later, in August of 2020, an officer attempted to pull her over while driving, but instead she floors it. She sends the police on a high-speed chase through Green Bay, almost hits multiple vehicles. She ends up stopping at her dad's apartment complex, gets out, and attempts to make a run for it, trying to get inside her dad's apartment, but she ends up getting tackled and arrested. So she got 3 months in jail for that.
This sounds like an episode of Cops.
So she got 3 months in jail and an additional 2 years of probation. And I have a surprise for you, Bree. Taylor was also pregnant when she was arrested.
Oh my gosh.
So she was like, okay, you know what? I'm pregnant. I just had my second arrest and spent 3 months in jail. I need to get clean. Like, I need to get my life together. So she moves back to Texas to live a better life with her grandparents. Meanwhile,
Shababy
is in jail. Shababy.
I'm sorry. She's got so many, like, funny things in this story. Shabo and Shabusiness. She's going to have a Shababy.
Okay, so Warren is still in jail because he got arrested for drug dealing. Right. So she was like, he's not going to miss out on anything while he's in jail. This is a perfect time to go and get clean. Early in 2021, Taylor was 23 at the time and gives birth to a baby boy. She is doing her best to be a good mom. She starts making beaded jewelry and selling it on Facebook. Just trying to keep her hands busy because of her addiction to meth, and be a good mom. So she did try to kill herself twice after giving birth. So her dad was like, okay, we need to get you help. So he sends her off to another hospital where she was diagnosed with PTSD, ADHD, and bipolar. The baby gets sent off to Warren's side of the family to be taken care of. After Taylor was released, she went to stay with her dad for a few months. Ugh. And unfortunately, which seems to be like the key word to this episode, her dad was arrested for raping a 13-year-old in 2018.
Ew.
So he was sentenced to 12 years in prison. And so Taylor was, like, on her own now, and she finds out her husband had cheated on her before he went to prison. So she hits up Facebook and posts exactly this. I got hitched to show them my commitment, loyalty, and dedication to them, that I was never going to be how I used to be. Then they turned around and on me. There is no way I'll ever go into another relationship. Hashtag can't trust no one. Can't trust no one. In February of 2022, Taylor rekindles an old relationship and gets back on meth. And that relationship was with her high school lover, Shad. They ended up spending most of their time together. The night of February 22nd, Taylor and her friend are looking to party. They jump into Taylor's roommate's minivan and go and pick up Shad, who is living in his mom's basement. They drive and make a pit stop to pick up meth, weed, and trazodone, a crowd pleaser, I hear, and go back to Taylor's apartment. Taylor and Shad decide to break out the meth. Like, the party was, like, vibing, but they're like, we need to step it up a notch. So they break out the meth, and I guess when you take meth, you then take the trazodone to bring down your high so it's not so intense. I don't know. Just sounds like you're going up and down, and that just sounds painful to deal with mentally. But you do you. At some point, one of their friends leaves, so it was just them eventually at the apartment. They realize that they're out of meth, so they decide to go get more. They leave Taylor's place and pick up more meth. They go back to Shad's place early in the morning. Taylor takes some hits on the meth pipe and passes the pipe to Shad. Shad takes it, but pulls out two silver chain link necklaces that were like dog chain necklaces. You know, like the dog chain. Okay.
Yes.
He pulls two of those out and suggests to use it during intercourse. And she was like, okay. What I'm about to share next is Taylor's confession to the officers while she was high. Taylor said during intercourse, Taylor gets on top of Shad and pulls the loose end of the chain and watches Shad's face turn from red to purple, and then she notices him going in and out of consciousness. And during her high, she was thinking, wow, I can change the color of his face. So she was making his face change from red to purple to blue, and she wanted him to be small, and even said when she pulled harder, it made him smaller, which I don't understand that, but that must be the high talking. She said that she could feel his heartbeat slow down and then come to a halt, which excited her even more and would pull harder, causing him to cough up blood. But it didn't stop her because she wanted to see what happened. Which death.
Oh my God.
This death is what happens.
Yeah. Clearly.
After she realizes Shad was actually dead, she ends up raping his body with herself and multiple toys of hers.
Oh my God.
At some point, Taylor takes a nap after being up for 24 hours. When she wakes up, she realizes she needs to move Shad's body from the house and decides to cut up his body to make it easier to move his body. She creeps upstairs to the kitchen and grabs a handful of kitchen knives. She tried multiple knives on his neck to remove it into the bucket, but she ended up finding that the bread knife was the best one.
Yeah, I was about to say the serrated.
So his head was like hanging off the edge of the bed and the bucket was below.
Oh God.
And that's like, so it was like collecting a lot of the fluids.
Right.
And she ended up taking it out, taking it and pouring it down the shower drain that was in the basement. And then she let the head go into the bucket. But she used the bread knife and cut off his genitals and put them in the bucket. She then takes a nap because that was so exhausting. When she wakes up, she cuts Shad in half, hot dog style.
What? Why?
I don't know. That just cut him hot dog style.
Maybe because the bones were harder to cut through. Because you have to go through really thick bone to cut through that way. So like you go through like, oh, but your pelvis, your pelvic region would be so hard to cut anyway.
But there's still like an opening in the pelvic region.
Yeah. And then like your ribs, there's opening there. Huh?
Yes. So she cuts him hot dog style straight down the middle, everybody. She removes all of his organs, putting them in Walmart bags.
I love that you refer to hot. I know why you said hot dog style, because in elementary school, I remember they would say to fold your paper in either hot dog or hamburger style. That lets me know exactly how he was cut. The long way.
Yes.
Not the short way.
Not the short way. So she... Hot dog Shad.
Hot diggity dog.
She removes all of his organs and puts them in Walmart bags. She takes his torso and puts it in the blue storage container. She cuts his arms off at the elbow and puts the arms in the storage container. She cuts off his left foot and puts it inside of Shad's empty chest.
This is not funny.
She's like, this is a great spot for it. This is an excellent spot for the shoe. For the, this and this will store his foot.
Oh, shoot. I don't know where to put his foot. Oh, here we go.
At this point, she was tired, so she slows down and decides to fillet his back and right thigh.
Oh, no! No!
No.
She claims she was hearing footsteps and gunshots and that there was no door to leave out of because it was the basement. So she decides to start cleaning, but then got lazy and was hungry. So she stopped cleaning.
So just eat what you're cutting.
She ends up throwing the towel over the bucket with the head in it, and she said she threw the towel over it with full intention of grabbing the bucket with his head. She grabs the still intact left leg and foot and forgets all about the bucket. This brings us back to the very beginning when Tara finds Shad's head in the basement. Tara told law enforcement that they had spent 24 hours down there, and she was like, you know, they're old enough. I'm not going to check on them. You know, they're doing their own thing. I'm not going to intrude. So with this information, police go over to Taylor's apartment. They see the van Taylor was using. As they approach the vehicle, the van lights turn on. The officers look into the windows and they find a laundry basket full of laundry and a crock pot box. When the officers look on the outside of the vehicle, they see a few droplets of blood in the snow, leading them to the apartment of Taylor's home. But as they were walking towards her apartment, she was actually walking towards them because she was walking back to the van. She stops and smiles at them. The officers see her sweatpants were caked in blood, her hands were stained of blood, but she had a full face of fresh makeup and eyelashes. She was obviously arrested. She was booked and had to put on the jail jumpsuit. Inside the interrogation room, they leave her alone for a bit and they catch her on camera saying, "I f***ing hate this outfit." So Detective Graff told her they found a lot of blood in the basement, and she said that fucks up. The detective and her go back and forth for a while, and finally it dawns on her that she forgot the head in the bucket, and she was like, "Dang, I can't believe I left the head." Girl, you just murdered somebody and then cut him up into multiple pieces. You're worried about the head in the bucket? Like, that's the smoking gun? Like, if they didn't have the stove on. Head,
man.
The head is what is going to indict her. Oh, my goodness. So they ask her, why did you kill Shad? And she says, "Good question, because I blacked out during that time, but I need to think." They asked her about her choking him, and she said she enjoyed it. They asked her if he fought back, and she said, "He did, but I won." And when they questioned how long it took to dismember Shad, she said it took a while. And said she should have taken more drugs because of how long it took. She said it took all day.
Oh my
Towards
gosh.
The end of her interview, Taylor apologized for what she did. Authorities were trying to decide if Taylor was even stable enough to stand trial. But in February of 2023, a psychiatrist deemed Taylor unwell and not mentally stable to stand trial. Despite this, the judge ruled that she was able to stand trial. Her trial started early July 2023. Her new attorney asked for Taylor's web search history to be excluded from the trial. Some of the searches included, I really wish this whole story was fake. Some of the searches included Jeffrey Dahmer entering courtroom all sexy. Another one was Jeffrey Dahmer's butt. So the judge was like, "Nah, we can include that."
Since you asked for it not to be, that's a red flag.
He's like, "Nah, this is too funny. This is too funny." The jury only took 1 hour to deliberate. They charged her with first-degree murder, mutilation of a corpse, and third-degree sexual assault, facing mandatory life in jail.
Dude.
Taylor and her husband, remember her husband, the drug dealer,
are still
in communications. I forgot all about him. They're still in communications. Her husband, Warren, will post on his Facebook from jail claiming that she is innocent. And that, my friend, is Taylor Shabusiness.
Wow. That was a whirlwind. That was wild. I so many emotions in that.
So many.
Like, what? Is there an April Fool's coming up?
No, I wish there was. Listen, just don't do meth.
Don't do meth, guys.
Don't do meth.
I've heard it's a little bad for you.
You might end up killing your friends with benefits.
It leads to poor choices.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. She's squeezing him like he's the Skittles, the color of the rainbow, changing colors.
She was like,
taste the rainbow.
He was like, please stop. And she's like, no. Taste the rainbow, my friend. Okay, what do you have for me?
All right. Let's see here. I've got. We're going to Kansas this week. We're not really going to Kansas, but you know, I'm telling you
we're
about
not
somewhere
in
Kansas
anymore, Toto.
Click clack, your heels. All right, I'm going to tell you about the McIntyre Villa in Atchison, Kansas. So, first off, how do I even like stand up to your story? Because that story was amazing, by the way. But this is a pretty cool place. So, you know,
okay.
I'm
excited.
Don't drop off from listening yet, guys. It gets interesting.
This is great.
All right. So the McIntyre Villa was built for a pioneer businessman by the name of John McIntyre. John was born in Ireland in 1827 and came to America when he was just a wee little lad. He eventually moved to Kansas in the 1860s and started a small shop in Atchison, making saddles and harnesses, gaining a reputation as a very fine and well-known craftsman. His business became very successful, making quite a fortune for himself. Between 1889 and 1890, John had the mansion built, and it became one of the city's most unique residences, costing at around $14,000, which is only about, like, you would think, like, when I tell you, like, numbers back then and compare them to now, it's like, wow, that's like $10 billion. But it was today's money. It's $477,424.62, which it's a pricey home, but like, it's not like what I would hope to hear. God hoped it was like $10 billion, but you know, it's fine.
That's like how much most houses are nowadays anyways.
I know. Dude, you ain't lying. So the home was made up of 5 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms and featured intricate woodwork throughout the home. John's first wife, Alice, died in the home in 1892. And 3 years later, he remarried to an Anna Conlon, a widow with 3 sons. In 1902, John passed and Anna continued to live in the home until her death in the home. So that's 3 people that have died there so far. She died in 1916. During the time, the mansion was home to a large number of her relatives, including many children. After Anna's death, her brother, Judge Charles J. Conlon, and his family lived there until 1925.
Was he a judge or?
Yes, he was a judge. Okay. The home then was a rooming house for the next 25 years. I'm not sure what that is. I'm assuming it's like a boarding, take people in. I probably should have looked it up, but it was a rooming
house.
Maybe,
or like a hostel, kind of?
Maybe, yeah. In 1952, it was then purchased by an Isabel Altus and turned into a single-family home. Isabel was a professional violinist who lived there till 1969. Isabel was known to dress in all black, and the children, I guess there was a school across from the home, and the children would see her, like, in the home, and there would, like, they started coming up with rumors that she was a witch because she looked creepy in the windows because she was dressed in all black. So,
I love that.
Yeah, I know. I would totally like lean into that. I'd be like, yeah, stay away from me then.
I want children to gossip about me at a school and say that I'm a witch when I get old.
She's a witch. Don't talk to her. She's a witch. You can't trust her.
Leave her house. She wears all black.
That's why she has cats. That is you. And you have cats.
What?
And you love pants. I don't know. Eventually, Isabel decided to move since she couldn't apparently afford to restore the home, and she sold it to a George Geraldy, and this was just before she died. It didn't say if she died in the home, but I'm going to assume she did.
Yeah, the home she never left.
Yep, she never left. The home was then restored to its former glory and put on the National Register. Now, one of my sources said that Isabel also went by Goldie, but according to a guest that stayed there and the current owner of the house, they told them that the prior servant that worked there was actually named Goldie and died in a rocking chair there. So say that because it pertains to my paranormal stuff later. Okay. So that's what I got on the house. Let's jump into the paranormal. Also, I'm not sure about this, but it is believed that the home was used for funeral ceremonies for some time. I couldn't dig up anything, but I did see that in one of my sources, so I don't know. So some things that happen in the home are lights turning on and off in the tower, even when there's like no electricity. Figures have been seen in the windows when no one is at home. Also, guys, if you want a picture of this house, if you've seen American Horror Story, the first season, it looks a lot like that house. And that's what drew me to it. I was like, oh, cool. I love this like old Victorian weird looking house. Anyway, it looks very cool.
Love it.
A speaker was thrown off of the counter and boxes are tend to move. The rocking chair that Goldie died in has been known to rock back and forth on its own. Footsteps walking down the hallway and on the second floor throughout the night have been heard. On the second floor, guests have reported feeling uneasy and like you're being watched. Items have been known to move or go missing. Creaks of turning doorknobs and slamming doors throughout the night have been heard. Lights tend to turn on and off on their own. Temperature drops, disembodied voices from a woman and men. The door to one of the sitting rooms upstairs opens on its own, and a shadow person has been seen a few times. Also, the scent of a powdery woman's perfume and the hint of cigarettes has been smelled. So this is from a visitor's account. I guess it's kind of a Yelp review, but it was just their recount of staying there. So the visitor was named Tim Trudell on The Walking Tourist. And it says, after touring another sitting room and the dining room, we headed upstairs. It was here that things started to change, really change. That door wasn't open when you guys got here, she said. And I believe this is the host. Sure. Okay. Thanks for the fright moment. Our drinks served with this show. She was serious. She recalled closing the door before we arrived. Okay, I thought. A draft from when we opened the door caused the door upstairs to open. It can happen in old houses. Sure. She asked if we wanted to check the video with her. Stephanie and her husband allow tours overnight and visits to the villa, so they have cameras available to ensure people that they aren't doing things in the house that they shouldn't be, like conjuring up evil spirits. We watched the video on her app. We can hear Stephanie saying hello, and then shortly afterwards, the doorknob turns and the upstairs door opens. The room that we are in. Yeah, on its own. Another thing that they recounted was a few of us walked into the adjoining sitting room. Then our host noticed the EVP app was signaling a lot of energy. She asked if someone or a spirit was there. Bill, the EVP energized a word to communicate with us. What? Then keys, followed by Toyota. My first name is William, Bill for short. I originally didn't think much about it, but I started to put pieces together. I had used my car keys to a Toyota to try to loosen a stuck battery in my camera earlier in the house. So our host thought maybe it was trying to talk to me. I asked if it was either my biological dad or my stepdad. It wouldn't acknowledge. Then it said, shoot and pose. Our host told us to take pictures of the mirror in case it wanted to reveal itself to us. I took pictures with my camera. And in the pictures online, it showed like it was a little blurry. Like you could see the group, and then next to them, the mirror looked like blurry and a little bit distorted next to them. And there was nothing there.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's get on to the Yelp I'm Scared reviews because there's a lot of them. But yes.
So I guess what I was thinking was that, like, ghosts would be, like, stuck in their time, right? So, like, if there wasn't Toyota, how do they know it's a Toyota Toyota?
You know, I think that there are hauntings of where ghosts are stuck in time, and then there are also hauntings of, like, I don't know, because he, like, he asked if it was his dad. Like, who knows if it was, like, even a ghost that was, like, in the house, or what if there was, like, a portal there.
I see.
For, like, yeah, other entities, okay, to come into the home. Because, okay, this house is very sense. Active. So,
so just
I know,
like humans.
Yeah.
Humans are...
I would
either
say
progressive
that they're,
or they're stuck in their time.
Right. I would say that there are probably, like, routine hauntings in this house, like, where they're, like, stuck in their time. But there's also, like, probably hauntings that go on that are not and that are, like, with it. So, I don't know.
Like, from all the 2020s?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh my god, Coke sucks, right? All right. So, the Yelp I'm Scared reviews, there were so many to pick from. I had to weed out my favorites. So, side note, upon reading these reviews, I have discovered that they also have a doll room in the home, which it doesn't pertain too much, but I mean, I just thought it was really cool, and it makes me want to stay there even more. So,
yeah,
this first one.
Having dolls in a room is
dolls
fun.
Are the best.
They're the best.
We could take our doll there. Also, I forgot to tell you how. So, side note, stop for a second. Whenever the movers packed up our stuff, like, you left a lot of the podcast stuff in my house with me to take with me. Uh-huh. And so I had that doll head, and then I had pieces of that doll. I put as much of the podcast stuff in a box, and I went ahead and taped it because I didn't want the movers to open it and get freaked out.
Sure.
And I'm
that
like,
makes sense.
And typically when we would do that, they would just, like, take the box and, like, throw it on the truck or throw it in another box.
Yeah.
No, they didn't do that. They went through this damn box. And I can't even imagine what they thought when they saw this doll head. Probably like, holy shit. And then, like, Sage. And then, like,
and then Rocket.
The Ouija board stuff. They definitely saw it because they wrapped it in paper. Just the head.
That's so embarrassing.
So, sorry about that. I swear I'm not into anything like, weird.
They're like, okay, I guess we're wrapping this because it's porcelain, right, guys? And the other guys are like, yeah, careful, dude. That thing's probably freaking haunted. And he's like, I don't want to wrap it. You wrap it. No, you wrap it. You found it.
This is probably what happened downstairs. Yep. They also wrapped
psycho upstairs.
They also wrapped a used mop that hadn't been cleaned and had dirt all over the bottom of it too. So yeah. All right, sorry, I had to go on to that little side note there. Okay, so this first one is from an Allison, and she gave the place 5 stars, and this was in 2021. She said, lots of activity in a beautiful home. My dad always wanted to go in this house when he was growing up. He passed away this past April, and we came back to spread his ashes. My mom and I took the tour. It was fantastic. The house is beautiful, and the activity was crazy. This was during the day. Footsteps, smells, whistles. The doll in the picture I'm posting looked so much like my dad from far away that it unnerved me. The owner told us his name was Thomas. That's my dad's name. She bought him this past April. It could be coincidence, or it could be my dad telling me he finally got to see the inside. Either way, I recommend going to tour this beautiful house.
Aww.
And that was really cool.
Yeah, that one's beautiful.
This next one is from Dean. And he gave it 5 stars, and this is in 2019. It's titled Overnight at the McIntyre Villa. Had a blast with a group of fellow ghost hunters. Place is legit. Plenty of activities set with and a Victorian background. Couldn't get much better from mystery, music, shadow figures, footsteps, and EVPs off the charts. Amazing. It's quite a hunt. Would recommend. It is quite a hunt.
Would recommend. It's quite
would
a hunt.
Would recommend.
It's off the charts,
it's off the
man.
Charts, man. It's awesome. Okay, this one is from a T-Town Tripper in 2018 and 5 stars. awesome old house. We did the self-guided tour with the owners, who explained the history of the house and some paranormal activity. I got a creepy feeling in the purple parlor with the piano. I asked the owner, and she said that they have heard piano playing and the violin playing sometimes, which makes sense because Isabel was a violinist.
Okay, yeah. I got a creepy feeling in the purple parlor.
Purple parlor room. I know. Purple parlor room by the piano. Was this a Dr. Seuss book? All right, Aaron, in 2022... this is the only one of the only negative reviews that I found. So I'm sorry.
Like that.
I'm sorry to read a negative review about this place, but I feel the need to say this one.
Yeah, it's freaking rude.
I was very disappointed in the mashed potatoes because apparently everyone else ate them, but the ghosts were most stellar. The host is most divine you will ever, or the most divine creature you will ever meet, like a blonde goddess on a haunted bog. That's missing mashed potatoes. So, everyone ate her mashed potatoes, apparently.
Okay, so she's not disappointed in the mashed
potatoes.
It was
a negative.
She's disappointed she didn't get any.
Yeah, she didn't. Just disappointed she didn't get enough.
That would be me. I love mashed potatoes.
Another from Brittany. Come for the ghost, stay for the mashed potatoes. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Okay, so I want to go just to try her mashed potatoes now.
I was about to say, you were talking about loving potatoes at the beginning of this. I don't think we were recording, but
no,
we should go now just so you can have the potatoes.
I need the potatoes. I need the potatoes in my life.
And there's so many more reviews, but I really felt like I needed to cut it down because there were so many ones about how immaculate the potatoes are, too, and how... Like, that's not even the only, like, there's so many people talking about how great this place's potatoes are. So, if you go there, try the potatoes, because apparently they're awesome.
Sounds like we need her recipe.
And the host is apparently really cool, too. So, as of today, the home has been restored to its old glory. The current owner plays host to visitors coming to the tour the home by day or night. If you should dare, you can even stay the night. And if you do, you have to get the potatoes. Don't forget.
Obviously. That was a good one. Thank you, buddy.
Yours was good, too.
Well.
Good episode.
I feel like we just kill it every week.
Killing it. Pun not intended. Okay. Stay away from meth.
Stay away from meth. So, this is my neighborhood story. It says... Once dated a girl who lived across from Frank the Tank. Frank was a large man who didn't much like his wife, so he would spend hours on his riding mower, basically going over the same 130 square foot patch of grass, I'm guessing, while sipping Coors Light, always in shorts that may have fit at one point, but now made his thighs look like biscuits popping out of a can. Never a shirt. He would jiggle immensely. He also liked to watch the local younger girls run around.
Oh, Frank. No.
Frank the Tank, you sound gross.
Frank the Tank, you stank.
You need a new pair of shorts.
Yeah,
you, buddy.
Right? Good.
Okay, we're gonna get, we love you guys, we appreciate you. Please like and review us, like Brie has been telling you for years now, and we know you listen, so do it.
Yep.
We give you this every week. You can at least give us that.
Yeah, don't make us give you the disappointed feel like we currently are already.
Greedy. Don't be greedy.
Share the love.
You know? Share the love.
Yep.
Anyways, have you checked on the neighbors lately?
What's with the neighbors?
Brie and
Amy. Ow.
Still didn't do it.
Brie and Amy.
But I'm all up. Say hi to your cats for us. You want a treat? You want a treat?
Oh, don't get dead. Sorry. Don't do that. Or don't do math.
Announcements, announcements, announcements. I can't do that like Amy does. Anyway, y'all remember when we used to do that? So I do have a couple of announcements. First off, unfortunately, we will not be recording over the next couple of weeks. If I or Amy can put anything out, it's going to be a very last minute thing and a very surprise to you guys and us. So we've got stuff going on. Family life, home life, everything with that comes first. We do love you guys. Just know that you can still send us your neighborhood stories, your hometown horrors, and all that jazz. And announcement number two is we are going to have a new thing where you guys can send in your cat's meow. So if you record your cat meowing, we could essentially give your cat a shout out and just also send in their names. But they can be in our little goodbye message where we say, you know, say hi to your cats for us. And instead of Leon or Tony meowing or, God forbid, Robin Sparkles meows, you guys can send in your kitty cat meows. The cats meow. Meow. So anyway, send those in. It can be audio or video recording to wwtnpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, we'll give your cats a shout out. And don't forget to put their names in there so we can be like, Jingle says... Anyway, y'all have a great couple of weeks coming up. Hope you enjoy the warm weather. And again, I'm sorry that we're not going to be recording, but, you know, home and family life comes first. So we will be back, though, I promise. Love you guys. Bye.